This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Later on the show, we'll explore what it's like to make a living in the business of mortuary science. First up, figures from the U.S. Census and WCPO show about a third of the people living in Cincinnati and almost half of the city's children are in poverty. This number has gone up significantly in the last 5 years and is double that of national rates. Nonprofit organization Cincinnati Works is trying to eliminate poverty in the tri-state area by helping people find employment so they can become self-sufficient and provide for their families. Here to discuss the organization, its mission, and the work it does are Cincinnati Works President Peggy Zink, Navigator Coordinator Latonio Chambers, and Program Director Doug Green. You can be part of the conversation at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Peggy, Antonio, and Doug, thanks so much for being here this afternoon. Good to see everybody.
Thanks for having us.
Peggy, tell us what exactly is Cincinnati Works? How you describe it?
Cincinnati Works, in short, is an organization working with people, low-income people, to help them find employment, keep employment, and advance to higher-paying jobs so that they can ultimately provide for themselves and their family.
Now, how did it come to be?
Well, we're 20 years old this year, and we were originally founded by Dave and Leanne Phillips. Dave is a former managing partner of Arthur Anderson, and Leanne was a retired school teacher, and they wanted to give back to their community in their retirement, and so they did an assessment to see what was needed and really decided to focus on the area of poverty and held the belief that the best solution to poverty was to help get people back working and earning income that will get them out of poverty.
So Dave and Leanne had this dream of eliminating poverty in the community, and that's also the vision of Cincinnati Works.
Absolutely, yes.
How attainable is that goal?
Well, if you think about the numbers you just read off, I think it's a very lofty goal. We try to stay focused on the people that are showing up in our doors every day and helping each one of them achieve that goal one at a time.
Mm-hmm. So it's a one person at a time approach.
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. It is. We try to take each individual. We meet them at that door, and we want to be able to embody some skill sets within that individual so they can take that and become self-sufficient to move forward. And really, the idea is how can we stop this generational cycle of poverty? It's something that is stricken our community, and Cincinnati Works is an organization that is striving to do that each and every day.
Mm-hmm. How did you come to be associated with the organization?
I actually started with Cincinnati Works as a college intern. I went to Thomas More College, and at the time, I had a professor who knew Peggy, and she mentioned that I would love this organization. So I remember getting an interview from Peggy and a former director at that time, and I was like, wow, I really like this organization. I really like it. And I remember my very first day, I met some of the great staff at Cincinnati Works, and I met a guy that I work with very closely by the name of Mitch Morris. And that relationship built a foundation to where I felt like I was home each and every day. I'm from Cincinnati, so being a part of the inner city, I know how these type of organizations are needed on each and every day basis. So it was beautiful from that very first moment being a part of Cincinnati Works.
So you've been there 3 years, Latonio, is that right?
Yeah, I've been there 3 years. Three years. It's crazy to think that, though. Yeah.
Doug, same amount of time for you, right?
Yeah.
3 years. How did you come to be associated with them?
So I've been here, a little over 3 years. I was in construction for 20 years. So I worked my way up and started as a laborer right out of college, held several different positions in the industry. And even have my own business for four. And so I was exposed to and was able to work with a lot of the demographic that we currently serve. So I came to a point, a crossroads in my life, where I wanted to make a change in my career. And kind of analyzing what I had done up to that point, I felt like working with individuals in poverty or helping people work towards self-sufficiency and economic success, that this would be a good fit. And I was a little nervous making the change, but over time I've learned that I've been kind of groomed to do this work, and it's just been an amazing experience.
Gratifying work, gentlemen?
Yes. Yeah. I would say that it's one of those jobs that you wake up each and every morning, and you can come in at 8 a.m., and before you know it, you're like, this is why I'm here. You know, it's very humbling. It's a blessing to me, honestly, to be a part of this organization. We serve people who are there because they need the help. And it's just great to be able to know that at some point I did something to help someone better their life. I mean, that's beautiful.
Hey, Becky, how do you find the clients that you work with?
It's a variety of means. We've been around 20 years, so we have about 7,000 people who have come through our training, and they tell their friends and family. And so word of mouth is the biggest way people find us. We also are out in those in the community recruiting. So we have a few people who, you know, feet on the ground in the neighborhoods that are the lower income neighborhoods and the demographic that we are in the position to serve. And we go out and meet them where they are and find out what they're trying to achieve and ways that we can help them. So it's a lot of those things. And then we also have partner agencies that we work with that serve a similar demographic, and they refer their clients to us.
How many partner agencies are you working with?
Oh, gosh, 100. I mean, there's a lot. Some we work with, you know, very closely, and then others are, you know, a little less involved. But there's, I think our current list has well over 50 agencies listed on it, yeah.
And how many employers are involved with you?
We have 75 core employers. Those are the ones that we work closely with their HR departments or their, you know, management staff to help fill their employment needs. And then there are other employers around the community who know of us and will call us when they need something. We aren't necessarily as connected with them. So it's a lot. We had, I think, out of 670 employments last year, I think we had about 300 employers involved in that. So.
And how tough is it to get employers on board with hiring your clients?
It's really not that hard, honestly. A lot of employers are working hard to find good people now. And once we can talk to them about the work we do, it's a pretty easy buy-in. Beyond just helping people find the jobs and get connected to those employers, the other big part of our program is supporting our members on the job. We call our clients members, just so you know. So supporting the members once they're on the job. So our value proposition to an employer is that we can help you retain that person on the job. You know, people in low-income situations who are struggling in many aspects of their lives have things that can happen that tend to derail them. And our job with the coaches, the employment coaches that are working with these folks, is to help them manage those barriers that may end up derailing them.
So part of what makes you different then is that you're about retention.
Yes,
it's not just
absolutely
about getting people placed.
Yes, it's beyond placement is what we actually say. That's actually kind of the easy part, and the harder part, and where our real work begins is with our coaches who work in the one-on-one retention, and then ultimately the longer-term advancement to higher-paying jobs.
Yeah, and you know, that's one of the things as a coach that we typically try to definitely make sure that we're working with this individual to. The idea of self-sufficiency. So how do you get to self-sufficiency? You get to self-sufficiency through the avenues of keeping and retaining a job. If you are to be in and out of employment, you're never really self-sustaining. You are remaining within the survival mindset, and it's hard to move forward when you're constantly surviving. So a lot of the things that we try to work with is just, you know, coaching techniques on how is it, you know, you have a bad day today. What happened on the job that day? What made this day so bad? Is this something that maybe possibly happened last week? So why is it today that this is the day that you feel like you need to quit? You feel like this is the last day that you need to be here. So a lot of us, more or less, we just need someone to talk to, that support, that guidance of, I just need to be heard out. I need someone to just understand that, hey, just listen to me. This is where I'm at with this situation. So retention is very important because that is ultimately our goal in terms of helping that person reach self-sufficiency.
So, Doug, the idea is to teach people to work their way out of poverty. Am I hearing that right?
Yes, that's correct. So yesterday, I want to bring up a point to add on to what Latonia said. I was talking to somebody yesterday that works with a demographic similar to us. And he brought up the point that when he's working with his members, oftentimes, using as an example, if they show up for a job 4 days out of 5 days, that's a victory to them. They think that's fantastic because they've grown up in an environment where they may not have any working adults in their family. So coming from an environment where no one goes to work to an environment where, hey, I made it 4 out of 5 days, that's pretty good. As an organization is not, you know, what we're working towards. We're working to give them the skills and the coping skills and the support that they need to understand, you know, what it's like to deal with on the job, things that come up, and then how to be, you know, on time, how to be at your desk, how to be at your post. So
what are some of the other skills that you're teaching people?
We teach them a variety of skills. We give them resumes and interviews, you know, the baseline things that you need to obtain a job. But we also work on them with how to dress on the job, how to deal with coworkers that may be insubordinate, how to work with managers who may not be on the same page as yourself. And then further, just life skills, you know, being prepared, learning how to schedule. We even do financial coaching with them, so showing them how to budget and how to obtain some of those things that they've always wanted to have, a car, a home, you know, some of those things that allow them the freedom to have more opportunity, more job opportunity, and then really provide for their families.
The financial coaching, that sounds like that would be a really big thing. How big a part does that play?
So at Cincinnati Works, that's it's a big part. You know, one of the things that we as coaches want to make sure that we're helping our members is to reach, again, self-sufficiency. So to get to that level, you know, financial literacy is very important. The idea, so for instance, you know, I work with a guy who's 18 going on 19, and he's making for his age range very good money. And for most people within his community, they're not seeing the type of money that he's seeing because he's working, you know, with the grip of factory, making 12 to 15, you know, $12.50 an hour. And so from that instance, you know, what do you do with this money at 19 years old? You know, if you begin to put money aside by the time you're 25, you'll have a nice, you know, a little penny saved up. So this financial literacy is completely important for the next phase of where we're trying to get the person to. And that is, again, self-sufficiency. To get to that next level, how are we putting all of, you know, our eggs in a basket to make sure that our money is saved for a rainy day? So when I meet with this individual, we talk about the little things in terms of, you know, if I notice he has a bunch of new clothes on, it's like, I see you went shopping over the weekend. He's like, you know, we joke about that. And I was like, well, did we save any money on this paycheck? And he's like, not this paycheck. So again, trying to get back to the idea that, okay, this money, the reason why we're working is to save and to build towards a better future. The material things come and go. So keeping, you know, the mind, the reinforcement that let's work towards building a better productive life in terms of saving and getting to where we need to be.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join us. And Sean called, and he wanted to know what ages you work with.
Currently, we're working with 18 and up. Lotonio actually is running a new program that we just started that's going to be working with 16 to 18-year-olds.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's a great question, Sean. We are currently the Navigator program is something that we're starting here at Cincinnati Works. The idea is, you know, 16, 17, 18-year-olds, they're at that age range, you're trying to figure yourself out. You're trying to decide what's the next chapter of your life. Do you go to college? Do you finish school? All these little things are going through this person's mind. And one of the things that we have found is, despite, you know, we have seen the increase of the high school dropout rate, you know, that individuals are graduating more than what they ever have in the past. However, there's still abundance of individuals who need some form of guidance, who need a mentor in the decision making. I was fortunately an RA while I was in college, and I could tell you that college isn't for everyone. There's other avenues that individuals can take in terms of a certification, a trade school. So meeting that 16, 17, 18-year-old at the door, the goal behind this Navigator program is we want to take those individuals who are also at risk. You know, in the area of Cincinnati, there's, you know, we've seen gun violence in our communities. You know, I work with individuals on an everyday basis who, like I have a guy right now who his son at 16 has been convicted of two aggravated robberies. And you think about it, 16-year-old convicted of two aggravated robberies. And this individual, all of these things took place on a school night. So how is it that we can work with this individual before all of this began to happen, before he had this temptation to do all of these things, to say, hey, you got school tomorrow. Hey, let's work on the next chapter of your life. What do you want to do outside of this? Do you want to go to college? Do you want to go to welding school or whatever it may be? So this program is ultimately, our goal is to, again, take that individual, teach them the same skill set that we're doing for the adults. You know, there will be more things that are more specific to that population and to that demographic. But at the end of the day, the goal remains the same. The goal remains the same. We want to find employment, and we want to ultimately take this person and move them into a better place in their life.
We will continue our conversation about Cincinnati Works, and you can join us at 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. My guests this afternoon are Cincinnati Works President Peggy Zink, Navigator Coordinator Lotonio Chambers, and Program Director Doug Green. And you can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. So we've heard about the Navigator program. Peggy, what, you've got other programs. Next step, what's that about?
Yeah, the Next Step program is offered for foster care, youth in foster care who will be soon emancipating from the system. So 18-year-olds who are emancipating from foster care and faced with independent living need help finding employment and learning how to manage their money and, you know, the other life skills that we're teaching in order to help them thrive as adults.
And Latonio, you're also involved with the Phoenix program.
Yes.
As well.
So our Phoenix program is it's a program that often you may see on TV. A guy I work with very closely by the name of Mitch Morris. He's in the community a lot. Right now, I know he's doing a ceasefire event. And ultimately, the Phoenix program is for at-risk individuals that are – and when we utilize the word at-risk, it's really this comprehensive definition for several things. But more or less, gun violence is one of the biggest specific things that the Phoenix program focuses on. We are trying to stop the killing and shootings that are taking place in the inner city, in the city of Cincinnati specifically. Through our Phoenix program, we are to leverage those individuals through employment, a way to put down the lifestyle that they had been living. So ultimately, we're trying to take these guys and say, hey, instead of living the lifestyle you're living this way, how about we try to do it through the form of employment, working with the coach, working with the team of people, and let's see what happens with that.
Again, 513-419-7100 to join us. And Doug, we talked about the value of vocational trade training the other day on the show. And since you were in construction, I just kind of wanted to get your thoughts on that. How valuable is trade training?
I'm a huge proponent for trade training. There is a deficit when it comes to the skilled trades. So manufacturing, construction, and all the different elements that go into those industries. Back in the day, we used to have apprenticeships and we used to put in time into working towards an actual trade so that we can make a living, a good living, at doing that work. And that seems to have gone away. The housing industry specifically, as we went through that housing boom, 2000 through probably 2011, created this pod of, construction workers who weren't as specialized as they had been in the past. So, a huge part of my passion for this work is that, we allow or provide for our members a pathway to achieving the skills that they needed to do those jobs in construction and advanced manufacturing. I mean, logistics, IT, the list goes on and on. But there are definite pathways to be had to achieve those skills to get not just a living wage, but a wage that will allow them to have some of the freedoms that they're seeking.
Peggy, how much is Cincinnati Works growing?
Well, we've been on a growth trajectory for the last few years. Our main office is downtown. We 3 years ago opened up a second office at CityLink Center in the West End, and then this year we opened up a small office in Madisonville, where we're working closely with Madisonville Education and Assistance Center to provide employment services in that community. And then very soon here, we're about ready to open our fourth office in Roselawn, and Doug's going to be leading that initiative.
513-419-7100 to join us, and let's talk with Avijita, and I hope I said that correctly. Good afternoon.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to check if in the program they have any, program for employment or training for female, like young girls who want to work and are from a poorer family and want to be independent financially.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say if they're over 16, if they're 16 to 18, they would be a great candidate for the Navigator program. And otherwise, if they're 18 or older, they can access any of our locations, and we'll get them connected to work.
Again, 513-419-7100 to join us. And what kind of impact have you had, Peggy? I mean, what are some of the things that you've accomplished with this program?
Well, I mean, by the pure numbers, we've trained 7,000 plus people. We've 5,000 plus or so have found employment. We have a big part of our program is what we call Members for Life. And so those folks will keep coming back for subsequent employment and that sort of thing. So we help people find multiple jobs over the course of the time they're working with us. In terms of economic impact, the University of Cincinnati Economic Center completed a study in 2013 that looked at our 5 years of history from 2008 to 2012 to measure our economic impact. And that was the final bottom line number there was $9.7 million of economic impact to the community based on taxes, you know, people earning income and paying taxes, as well as getting off of the government supports.
But you said something interesting, members for life. Mm-hmm. So this is this is a long-term thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Simply getting a job is not enough. I mean, it takes it and especially considering the challenges and the hurdles that our members have to overcome to get the job and keep the job. You know, it does take time to get them to a point where they're working continuously in a job over time and then ready to advance to those higher paying jobs. So, yes, we have people in our program we've been working with for a number of years. And as long as they are working and trying to move forward, we continue to support them on that journey until they're fully self-sufficient and able to provide for themselves and their families.
You talk about barriers that people face. Mm-hmm. Where are some of those barriers?
Transportation is a big
one. That's gotta be a biggie.
And I know you've done a program recently on the public transportation study that was recently done. There are a lot of jobs out there that are just not accessible by bus. And most of our members are bus riders. So that's a big one. And then you have the usual, you know, childcare is a challenge for people who are parents, access to quality childcare and affordable childcare, financial literacy.
Yeah. Yeah. Then you include things in terms of like, you know, just attitudes and beliefs. I mean, I think a lot of we are to some degree our biggest barrier. So that is also a big foundation of what we do. Outside of that, you know, specifically for those of the individuals that I've helped work with, in terms of legal barriers is ultimately one of the bigger things that you find. You know, how do you in this world with, let's say, if you have this record, this felony, this misdemeanor, whatever it may be, how do you find employment when you aren't too for sure what all employers are even willing to accept that record? So in a way, you're almost aimlessly just walking around, knocking on the door and just hoping someone, you know, opens that door. So one of the things that Cincinnati Works, what we try to do is we try to build these relationships with these employers so that, you know, I take, Terrence over here and say to Terrence, okay, I know that this employer here will not accept X, Y, and Z. So let's not even, you know, waste our energy going that direction and let's put our means towards a different route. And that way Terrence feels like, okay, something is getting done for me.
So 75 employers that you're working with right now?
Yes.
Could you use more?
Absolutely. Could use more. And to Latonia's point, we could use more employers that would work with people with records. 60% of our members in 2015 came to us because they had a record and were struggling to find employment. So that we could help a lot more people if we had more employers who could open their doors a little wider to some of these folks who have done their service, their time, and really want to make a change in their lives.
Jared joins us now, and let's go ahead and talk to Jared. Hi, how are you doing this afternoon?
Doing excellent. How are you all?
Good, thank you.
Thank you.
Go right ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment through my company a couple of years ago, where I was actually able to volunteer with Cincinnati Works, and I just wanted to encourage anybody that has the time and the means to do that, because it was an enjoyable process. It was nice to work with several from the community and to give back. Specifically, I work with information technology, and we were able to train, I believe, it was a class of not young ones, but those in transition from one job to the next to work on their resumes and learn how to job hunt. So it was definitely an enjoyable process, and you guys are an asset to the community.
Well, thank you. Thank you for your participation as well.
Yeah, how important are those volunteers?
Absolutely. Yeah, we use volunteers, as he said, to help with some of our training. A big role that volunteers play is in our training, doing mock interviews. That's a really powerful experience for both the interviewers and our members. We have volunteer mentors for some of our Next Step program and our Navigator program. We have mentors assigned one-on-one with our members in those programs. And then other volunteers who want to help out in the job search lab, computer lab, those sorts of things.
You have a website where people can find out more about you?
We do. Okay. www.cincinnatiworks.org.
Okay, we have a link to that at wvxu.org as well. And thanks, everybody, for joining me today.
Oh, thank you.
Our
thanks
pleasure.
So much for having us.
Cincinnati Works President Peggy Zink, Navigator Coordinator Latonia Chambers, and Program Director Doug Green. Coming up, we'll hear about the Cincinnati College of Mortuary Science and the changing death care industry. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.